This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Don't say that, oh, we don't need more huffaz. No, who said that we don't need more huffaz?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear parents, and welcome to this bonus session that we're having for the Raising a Hafiz Masterclass course. Alhamdulillah, I'm really pleased that today we have with us Sheikh Haytham Al Haddad. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair, Sister Fatima.
Thank you so much, Sheikh. Sheikh Haytham is very difficult to book, I think, usually. So we're really lucky, you know, we're really fortunate that he, alhamdulillah, made some special time for us, especially, you know, since he goes to the masjid for each of his salahs and all of that, you know, it's hard to fit these kinds of things in. But Sheikh, we really appreciate you being with us. And really, we wanted you to please, Sheikh, share with us, because the brothers and sisters who are joining us, they are parents. All of them have high aspirations for their children. You know, they want to raise their daughters or their sons as huffaz, the next generation of huffaz. So we wanted to ask you, Sheikh, to please give us some words of exhortation, advice about what you see as the vision for the next generation of huffaz. And if I could just say make one more point. You know, Sheikh, in our previous generation, it was the norm for people to, like our parents' generation, they used to learn the Quran, but maybe they read the whole Quran from cover to cover. They might have had tajweed or maybe not, you know, sometimes. And they wouldn't really understand the Quran. And then maybe our generation, many of us, maybe we studied Arabic later, you know, and stuff like that. But now we have this new generation. How do we raise the huffaz of this new generation, and how can we raise them in a holistic way?
Okay. Jazakallah khair. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, it is my honor, Sister Fatima, to be invited to your one of your workshops, and I think I am honored really to be invited to this workshop that is talking about the Quran. And may Allah Jalla wa Ala honor us all by the book, by his book, by the Quran. And as Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that this book, yeah, raises some people and puts down some other people. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches the Quran. And may Allah Jalla wa Ala make us among the best of people who are learning the Quran and teaching the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah Ta'ala has his own people, his own private people, and the people of the Quran are the people of Allah Ta'ala, the close people to Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala make us among those. And of course, I am sure that you have spoken about the merits and the virtues of memorization of the Quran. And it is enough to say to the parents that on the day of resurrection, that as it was authentically reported, that the parents of the Huffaz, they will be given the garments and the crown. Not only the crown, but there is another narration about that they will be given the garments of the honor and the crowns of honor. And they will be surprised, and they will... it will be said to them, because your son has memorized the Quran. In some narration, because of what you did in order for your son to memorize the Quran. And the Quran, as we all know, comes to intercede on behalf of the person on the day of resurrection. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the Quran and fasting, they will intercede for the person on the day of resurrection. So This is, we are talking about the greatest thing. In fact, the Quran is the greatest matter that we have in our life. Allah Jalla wa Ala, it is one of the attributes of Allah Jalla wa Ala, is if Allah Jalla wa Ala is our supreme Lord, and Allah Jalla wa Ala is everything in our life, and success lies with Allah Jalla wa Ala, happiness lies with Allah Jalla wa Ala, all good things go back to Allah Jalla wa Ala, then we are talking about the words of Allah Jalla wa Ala. All good things go back to the Quran. All success go back to the Quran. Success in the dunya and success in the akhirah. In fact, I defined once the Quran as the book of success. I said it is the book of success in the dunya and in the akhirah, the book of success for individuals and communities, the book of success for the entire humanity in all aspects, spiritual aspects, political aspects, you name it. So if we really attach ourselves to the Quran, we are attaching ourselves to the strongest weapon that exists on earth. We are attaching ourselves to the strongest means of success in this dunya and in the akhirah. So if we give our children Quran, we have given them everything. We have given them the means of success. And according to, as one of the early scholars said, teach your children Quran, and Quran will teach them everything else. Teach your children Quran, and the Quran will teach them everything else. In fact, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, the benefits of the Quran, yeah, go beyond the benefits of the akhirah or tawfiq in the dunya. Go beyond that. And I remember one of our teachers, he said that he used to be a linguist. He has PhD in linguists. He said, if children learn Quran from the beginning, they will become eloquent speakers. Yes, because especially with tajweed, it trains all their muscles, vocal muscles, and they will be able to talk clearly. Yes, let alone that their ability to distinguish between words increases. Their ability to, of course, those who understand Arabic, and I will come to that point, those who understand Arabic, once they study the Quran, the ability to have to memorize more vocabularies, yeah, is higher. So that helps them to be more intelligent, more eloquent people. This is one thing. But brothers and sisters, subhanAllah, there are some side important issues that your children will gain when they memorize the Quran. First of all, one of the biggest problems of children now is they want just to follow their desires by spending their time on social media, on games and social media. Now, when you start a journey for them to memorize the Quran, you are transforming them from this worthless life, from being controlled by their desires, to something serious from the early age. In fact, you will teach them also to have a vision, because when they are young and you are trying to tell them, to encourage them that, oh, you will become hafiz, so now he will be vision motivated, not just a spontaneous person who is acting according to his own desires. You will build in them practically, not by talking, not by just lecturing them. You will teach them commitment, because imagine if a child stays for 5 years committed to memorize Quran, he will be able to be committed to do something else. So these are side issues that we might not think about them when we teach our children Quran. It will teach them sabr, it will teach them self-control. In fact, If you do it with them, it will build, strengthen the relationship between you and them, my dear brothers, my dear sisters. Now, there are here a few points. In the early stage, I recommend that the children memorize the Quran. Yeah, if they can, they memorize the entire Quran, and maybe just some basic meanings of the Quran to be taught to them. So, for example, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, what does it really mean? Yeah. In fact, before that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, what does it really mean? Yeah. What are the benefits of the basmala? And let them get used to this basmala in the beginning of anything that they do. And also, when you teach them basmala, make sure that you teach them these main two names of Allah Jalla Ala, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, and the impact of those two names on themselves. And then when you teach them Surat Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, just the basic meanings. Yeah, what does Alhamdulillah mean? And show to them that we are using Alhamdulillah, or we use Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen frequently in our life. It is the same thing that we see after food, after we receive good news, etc. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Yes, just the basic meanings. And let them, when they read it, when they hear it in the Quran, when they read it in the Salah, when they hear it in the Salah, they just understand what does it really mean. And subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, when you teach your children Quran, their ability to understand Arabic language will become much higher. Yeah, in fact, for them to learn Arabic language, it will be a very easy and a quick job. So the effort you put in teaching, in teaching them Quran, it will pay back in different fronts, and one of them is learning Arabic language. When they memorize the last juzu, when they start with the short surahs of the last juzu, for example, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, the three quls, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Again, I strongly recommend, even if they are children, to teach them, what does قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, what is falaq, what does قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, and teach them the merits of those two surahs. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to seek refuge in Allah Jalla Ala by reciting those two surahs on himself and these surahs on Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. And Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, the grandchildren of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as you know, they were very young when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, which means that he was teaching them these surahs to learn and to see the impact on themselves. So this is something that I really recommend to do when you teach your children Quran and when you try to make them huffaz. Now, beyond that point, it is so important, even if your children are young, to teach them the status of the Quran, the status of themselves when they become huffaz, not to become arrogant, not to show off in front of their colleagues and peers that we are huffaz. No. What we mean is that to teach them that once you become hafiz, you become closer to Allah Jalla Ala, and you become a person of spirituality, a person of ibadah, a person of khair. So, my son, just be careful. Don't use bad language. Don't use bad behavior. because you are a person of Quran. However, let me say that carefully. You need to make sure that your son absorbs these things, and these things will not cause any, will not become counterproductive, because you don't know the children how they react. Sometimes they might feel that this is a burden, and it is better for me not to become a hafiz in order to become free. Yeah, and do whatever I want to do. Like, a number of children, they said the reason for us not to be religious people because we want to be free to do whatever we want to free. Yeah, whatever we want to do. So, and you know, these children now they have peer pressure, they have social media pressure, they have different types of pressure. So we don't know what kind of pressure they are exposed to. And hence, we really need to be careful when we teach them Quran. Also, let me mention something that is very important. Each child, please, brothers and sisters, children have different abilities. Yeah, I have two granddaughters. They are the children of my daughter, of their dad. However, you see clear differences between the eldest one and the youngest one. Clear differences. And even the ability of one to memorize more than the other is higher. So this is something that we need to be aware of. Yeah. And I know sometimes we as parents, we want our children to be huffaz, but our children might struggle to become hafiz. We need to be very careful in how to deal with our children, to deal with them carefully, because we don't want it to be counterproductive. I am not saying that, okay, don't push them to, or don't encourage them, or don't help them to become huffaz. No, but don't think that the son of so-and-so or a child of so-and-so completed this surah in 1 month and your son is struggling to memorize one page or maybe a few lines in 1 month, and you become frustrated and you start comparing between him or between her and others, and that might have a negative impact on your child. So please, please, brothers and sisters. In fact, I have a ruling that in Tarbiyah, whenever you listen to anyone who is speaking about anything in Tarbiyah, please, please try to customize it on your situation. Don't think that, yeah, I can take and apply what has been said, apply it as it is on my children. No, brothers and sisters, you might make a huge mistake if you do that. Children are different. Their ability is different. The tarbiyah process, even brothers and sisters, even your ability to convey some tarbiyah elements, yeah, is not like my ability. Your method is different than my method. So don't just take it for granted, and don't take it, don't just apply it irrespective of customizing on your situation. Okay, these are just very quick points about raising Huffaz. Yeah, I would like also to add one point, which is, it is very unfortunate that, or fortunate or unfortunate, or this is a reality, that now children, subhanAllah, you can feel that as if it is a virus, yes, going on. They like to play, they like to mess around, and they see us spending good amount of time on mobile phones. So the children now are different from children maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago, let alone they are completely different from the children of the Salaf, the early people of the scholars. So we need to take that into consideration whenever we teach them Islam, whenever we encourage them to practice Islam, and of course, whenever we teach them Quran. Yeah.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. I really appreciate that. Can I ask a quick question? And brothers and sisters, if you have any questions, please do either raise your hand or you can post them in the chat. In the meantime, I'm going to ask Sheikh some questions. Sheikh, you know, what would you say is the benefit of somebody, a child, memorizing Quran with this new generation? Is the long-term aim that they become scholars? Is the long-term aim, you know, that it will benefit them whichever field they go into? You know,
yeah.
Like what, in other words, what is the benefit of us having lots of Hufadh in the Muslim?
Yeah, this is a very good question. This is a very good question. First of all, brothers and sisters, let me tell you this story. This incident, not a story, just a small incident. One time I was in East London Masjid, then a brother came to me and he said, Salam alaikum, salam Sheikh, you don't know me. I am like a director of a charity, but the charity is outside London. I used to live in London now, and we are coming to collect some, to raise some funds in East London Mosque, etc. So I said, oh, mashallah, jazakallah khair, kada. Then that was before Salah. Then I said to him, maybe as you are waiting for Salah, yeah, maybe it's good that you stay and just read Quran, revise your Quran. And then the discussion continued, and he said to me, Sheikh, I ask him, and I do ask people, yeah, especially du'at, I do ask them. And I like to embarrass them sometimes because I cannot imagine a da'iyah who is not attached to the Quran, yeah, who doesn't know how to read Quran, who is his Quran is broken. Okay, hafiz, not hafiz, this is something else. But at least a da'i who gives da'wah just to memorize some of the Quran. So I asked him, he said, oh, Sheikh, you know, I'm not a scholar. And, you know, since I was young, I was not planning to be a scholar. That's why the only Quran I know is the Fatiha and the three Quls. I said, brother, seriously? You are on your 40s and being in the field of da'wah for 10, 15 years and only the three Quls? He said, I know, Sheikh. I said, brother, there is no excuse. No excuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes we think that we are memorizing Quran to be scholars. No, Quran is for everyone. Quran is for everyone. And Quran is not just for knowledge to become a scholar. Quran, my dear brothers and sisters, to go to Jannah, first of all. Yeah. Quran, as we says, that Quran intercedes for you on the day of resurrection. Quran intercedes you in your grave. Yes? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the day of resurrection, it will be said to the person who has memorized the Quran, read and ascend, read and ascend, read and ascend. Yes? Okay, the one who memorizes Quran knows the basic meanings and practices the basic meanings. This is what the scholar said. So read and ascend, read and ascend, read and ascend. And his status in Jannah according to the number of verses that he has memorized in the dunya, provided that he's acting upon that. So whether you are an engineer, a doctor, a politician, yes, you should be a person of the Quran. We are the ummah of the Quran. Allah and Jalla wa Ala honored this ummah by sending his speech. Allahu nazzala ahsan al-hadith kitaban mutashabiha. No ummah is honored by what by giving them the speech of Allah. Yeah, Allah Jalla wa Ala, and preserve it for them. Allah Jalla wa Ala revealed the Torah. It is the speech of Allah. The Injil, it is the speech of Allah. But Allah Jalla wa Ala took it from them. They don't have the Torah now. They don't have the Injil now. The Bible and the Old Testament, the New Testament is not the Kalam of Allah Jalla wa Ala. The only Kalam that exists on this dunya is what? Is the Quran. Allah honored us. At least out of respect, out of showing love for Allah Jalla wa Ala, glorifying love, we should respect the Quran. We should honor the Quran. We should memorize the Quran. Whether you are, as I said, businessman, politician, engineer, you are looking after your children at home, you are not working outside, you are working inside, whatever you do, okay, the Quran is for your akhirah. And see, brothers and sisters, please, yeah, wallahi, wallahi, when you get older and you see that people left you, if you have the Quran, you don't need people around you except the need of a human beings. But when you get older and you don't have the Quran with you, wallah, you will go crazy. You will go crazy because you don't have someone next to you. Your children will leave you. Your friends will leave you. Everyone will leave you. And my dear brothers, my dear sisters, listen to this. The Quran is the easiest and the quickest way to earn reward. Yeah, I saw one time an old person. Yeah, he said to me, "Wallahi, brother, طيب, يعني أنا, I can't fast. Fasting is difficult. I am big. I'm trying to control myself. But yeah, he finishes Quran. Yeah, once every 3 days." He has a big book of the Quran, and next to him is key and just keeps reading. Wakes up in the morning and keeps reading. In the evening, keeps reading. Yes? So he keeps reading Quran. And if he was a hafiz of the Quran, I know some of the huffaz of the Quran, yes, because they were huffaz, one of our mashayikh. Yeah, he was a hafiz of the Quran. He memorized the Quran a long time ago. In fact, one of the imams, what's his name? Majuli, Sheikh Majuli. I don't know whether you know him. He memorized the Quran and he reads the Quran subconsciously. Yeah, they can read the Quran. Yeah, they can finish 10 juzo a day easily. When you become old, brothers and sisters, your desires, they will come, they will calm down. And then you will be thinking more about your akhirah. And the easiest and the quickest way to earn hasanat is what? Is through the recitation of the Quran. So don't say that, oh, we don't need more huffaz. No, who said that we don't need more huffaz? And so this is for your benefit. Moreover, wallahi, I strongly believe that Allah Jalla wa Ala is saving countries like Syria now. Alhamdulillah, Allah Jalla wa Ala saved Syria from this tyranny. May Allah Jalla wa Ala save other countries from tyranny. I believe that Quran plays a major role in protecting them. Even the people of Gaza, yeah? The Quran is protecting them. Brothers and sisters, one of our biggest problems is that we think that life will go as we are expecting. We don't imagine that there will be calamities, there will be challenges, we might lose our homes, we might lose. Some people say, no, we are living here in the UK, it is secure, it's safe. Who told you? Who told you that you will live like this? Moreover, who told you that you will be healthy all the time? Yeah, who told you that you will be healthy all the time? And on the other, from another perspective, subhanallah, now the mental illnesses are increasing dramatically. Yeah, now we have a brother who is a psychiatrist, and he said, you know, now the age of dementia reduced from 60-something to 50-something. We see people who is 50-something are suffering from dementia. Yeah, you see that he's a strong person, and but he doesn't know what is happening. Yes, because of dementia, subhanAllah. Quran helps you against all of these things. These are benefits in the dunya, let alone, brothers and sisters, benefits in the akhirah. I do agree that, yes, memorize the Quran, but, okay, if you can go beyond memorization by understanding the basic meanings of the Quran, yeah, reflecting upon the basic meanings of the Quran, this is nurun ala nur, this is light upon light, and this will transform your life more and more. But it doesn't mean that, oh yeah, I am not going to be a scholar, I might not learn the basic meanings of the Quran, then why do I need to learn the Quran? And in fact, I wanted to say something. You know, I was planning, I wrote it here to maybe conclude the session. Brothers and sisters, please, one of the biggest deceptions that we have is, yes, I want my children to memorize the Quran. What about me? What about me? Yes, why don't you start to memorize Quran? You yourself. Don't say, well, oh, it's difficult for me, I don't know Arabic, my tongue is this, I am busy, I'm doing this work, I'm a doctor, I'm a businessman, I am whatever, whatever, whatever. No, okay, I am sure that if you save every day 30 minutes to memorize the Quran, wallahi, you'll be able to do it. Okay, give it 5 years, give it 10 years, 10 years. Okay, how old are you now? 40. By the age of 50, you will become hafiz. Okay, you will die by the age of 60. 10 years you have been hafiz of the Quran, and you are reciting Quran. Okay, in fact, you died while you are still memorizing the Quran. You will be resurrected on the day of resurrection with the intention to memorize the Quran. That is far better for you not to have that intention. Allah Jalla wa'ala will give you the reward of your intention, even if you did not achieve what you intended, what you intend to achieve. So, brothers and sisters, please kick this idea that, oh, do we really need more huffaz? And when we have more huffaz, then definitely there will be more religious people, more people who wish to become scholars, more the atmosphere of the country will be a religious atmosphere, will be an atmosphere of the Quran. Instead, do we want our community to be a community of Quran, or do you want our community to be a community of singing? Because if you don't busy yourself with something that is useful, something that is beneficial, something that you like to hear, you will be busy with by listening to something that is haram. Which one we want? And a final point, brothers and sisters, by the way, the first step to raise a hafiz is for your children to see you keen to memorize the Quran. Or you say to your children, to make it clear, wallahi, see, my children, I wish if I was a hafiz, this is one of my mistakes, one of my shortcomings. That's why I am trying to help you to become a hafiz. Be honest with you. But when they see that, oh, you are pushing us to become a hafiz, and you are just spending your time on social media, on watching films, on TV, etc., they will not be encouraged. They might see this hypocrisy. They might trying to do hifz in front of you, and behind your back, they will not do it. Yeah.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh, we have some questions here. So I have a question from sister. She's saying, how can we achieve the goal of everyone in our household reading or memorizing the Quran? For instance, sometimes children are reading and memorizing with one parent, but the other parent and other elders in the house, they're not really maybe doing it, or they're not interested in it. Also, Sheikh, someone else asked a question the other day that what if the grandparents are discouraging, like they think, oh, you're putting so much burden on this child. Sometimes there's a lot of pressure from. That's one question.
Yeah, these are valid questions. These are valid questions. See, first of all, especially for our sisters, you need to be reasonable, sisters, okay, in your approach. In your the in terms of the quality and the quantity. The quantity, how much time you spend with your child, okay, and the equality, which means to be that strict with your child. You need to be careful. I know of a sister that is spending 2+ hours every day with her child to memorize Quran. She said to me, "This is what I do." I said to her, "Sister, between me and you, just think about it carefully. I'm not encouraging you. I'm not discouraging you. I'm not approving that. I'm not approving that. Okay, I'm not disapproving that. But okay, and just be careful your child not to be tired. Okay, watch out carefully. We don't want this to be counterproductive."
Sheikh, actually, one of the things that I usually advocate is start with 10 minutes a day. With a small child, start with 10 minutes a day and build upon that, because you can see after that, you can see what are they capable of, what.
And evaluate the progress. And again, brothers and sisters, if you hear that, oh, this sister is spending 1 hour every day with her children, okay, and you are unable to do that, please, okay, don't just take what she's doing and apply it on your children. As Sister Fatima, you did not go through a gradual process with them. Be careful with this. This might be or likely to be counterproductive. Okay, this is one thing. The other thing is, you need to play a smart role, okay, with your grandparents. Okay, or sorry, with the grandparents of the children. Smart role in terms of the amount of time, if they have a negative impact on your children, okay, you need to evaluate that negative impact, because maybe, yes, they might have a negative impact on the children from one direction, but they have a positive impact on the children. For example, normally grandparents give parent give grandchildren give them more love. They show them more love. Sometimes they might spoil them, but you as a parent, you need to strike that balance, okay? Because the grandparents, they are enjoying their grandchildren, and they want to spoil them. Sometimes they can help you by passing some of the wisdom to your grandchildren. Don't think negatively of the grandparents all the time of your children. And along with that, okay, some of the goals that you want to achieve with your children, if you see that the grandparents are against that, especially not your parents, especially your in-laws, which is normally the which is it the point of tension, you need to play a smart role in maybe helping your children the goals you want them to achieve away from the grandparents. Don't make it a big issue in front of the grandparents. Achieve with them away from them, and when they go to the grandparents just enjoy them by playing with them, etc., etc., etc. Okay, some of our sisters, when they take the children to their grandparents, to their in-laws, there they want their children to be disciplined. They don't want the children to eat chips or sweet that was given to them by grandparents. They don't want their children. They want their children to memorize Quran. Okay, you are doing these things in front of their grandparents. Their grandparents, they want to enjoy them now, and that's why they might be put off from what you want to achieve with them. They might think that you are too, what is it, too extreme with them. Anyway, these are quick points.
Yeah.
And see, let me be practical at the end. If you, sister, if you saw that, well, we are coming to a deadlock, either with the grandparents, with the in-laws, or even with your husband, yeah, with your husband. You are teaching, let us say, you are teaching your children Quran, sending them to a madrasa or whatever, and your husband is completely against that. And you could not win your husband. Let us imagine the extreme scenario. Okay? At that time, you need to evaluate whether it is better to push your children to do something against that desire of their father, which is going to create rift, tension, negative atmosphere at home, or maybe it is better to delay that goal for some time until you come up with your husband or you agree with your husband on common terms. Yeah, I'm not saying that do it irrespective of the reaction of your husband. Sometimes the reaction of your husband, it goes, or it is worse, or it has a worse impact on your children. So that is not a good idea, really.
And sometimes, Sheikh, wouldn't you say that sometimes when we have a desire or a vision, we have to enroll other people into that vision as well?
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, sisters, yani, and brothers, if there is any, make sure that you ask Allah Jalla Ala to help you. Yeah, please, please, don't just look at it from just materialistic perspective, plotting perspective, planning perspective. Allah is there. And Allah, if He sees that you are sincere, Allah will help you. Yeah.
I will put two questions together. One says, Sheikh, can you touch briefly on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's approach when teaching the young Sahaba? Okay, what can we learn from that? And also, some people are saying, you know, sometimes we fear that, you know, what is the sin if you forget the surahs that you memorize? This
yep.
sometimes prevents people from wanting to memorize,
yeah.
And they worry, what if I do hifth with my child? And then, so Sheikh, as an example, you know, some Muslim chaplains, they told me that when they went to prisons, they noticed that there's a number, yani, not an insignificant number of young men who've memorized the Quran.
Yeah.
For example, yeah. Right? So just, you know, maybe to speak about these elements.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, okay, let me mention the second point, which is, okay, this is, it reminded me of a young girl one time. Yeah, still I remember that young girl, and when she said to me, I stopped saying the evening and morning adhkar because I understood that if you say them and you forget them one time, then a calamity will befall you. Yeah, so she said, if that is the case, oh, I don't want to
don't
say
do
them.
anything.
Yeah, in the first place.
Yeah.
I said that. Who told you this? See, brothers and sisters, yeah, yeah, if you teach your a child to memorize the Quran, don't always don't imagine that the wrong thing will happen.
Yeah.
Please, it is a matter of thinking. Many of us think of the negative consequences all the time. There we are. We become negative people. We think of the bad things before we think of the good things. There is a difference between planning, yeah, and taking precautions and just having anxiety or exaggerating in terms of what may happen. Yeah, these are two things, brothers and sisters. So we need to have a balance. Otherwise, we will not do anything that is good. Yeah, so do it. And maybe when you teach your children to memorize the Quran, this inshallah will help them to remain practicing people, to remain religious people, to remain good people. Okay, even if they forgot the Quran, they can go back to the Quran easily, much easier. Yeah, at least you have done your job. Yeah. But if they did not try to memorize, wallahi, when they become older, by the way, brothers and sisters, I am sure that if you ask yourselves, you know, when you see some people who are huffar, and when you become yourself more religious and understanding of the reality of this life, you will blame your parents why they didn't push you to memorize Quran. Yeah. So don't do the same mistake with your children. Do your job, and okay, everything is under the control of Allah Jalla Ala. So this is the first part of the question. The second
tarbiyah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with the Sahaba.
See, there is, I don't know of a specific method, yeah, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used. Okay, to do or used to use with the children in terms of the memorization of the Quran. I don't know. Maybe there is. Okay, I don't know. And maybe Sharia left this for our experience. But let me say the following. Brothers and sisters, from my own study and survey, and subhanAllah, some sisters who are specialized in children development, yeah, she agreed with me. She said, even from non-Islamic perspective, we have the same, almost the same timeline for children in terms of their learning ability. Okay, so the timeline and the stages of human beings from educational perspective or learning perspective, yeah, is the following, or are the following, the stages are the following: from 0 to 2, 2 plus to 7, 7 plus to 10, 10 plus to puberty, and puberty and more. Okay, now in brief, let us talk about the main two stages, from 0 to 7 and from 7 to 10. From 0 to 7, children have not developed their ability to study or to learn. Yeah, that's why many, northern countries, Denmark, Finland, Norway, yeah, who are, they say they have the best educational systems, they don't admit the children into schools before the age of 7. There are play groups. And okay, just to cut it short, from 0 to 7, what is the learning mechanism? From 0 to 7, the children just copy. From 0 to 7, children just copy. Yeah? So you keep, try it, brothers and sisters. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Read this in front of the children. Yes? After maybe some time, they will say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim exactly the way you said it.
Yeah.
They did not sit to memorize it. Okay, it just was sent to their mind. Okay, a few times they copied that. So they copy, which means, and all, you know, those who are working in this field and helping children to memorize the Quran, they say the same thing. For children from 0 to 7, just repeat, 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 and then they let them listen and find a way that they read. Yeah, this is the hifz. This is how they become hafiz. That's why Don't let them, don't expose them to the entire Quran. They will be confused. Yeah. For example, when you drop them to school, yeah, have on your mobile phone or whatever, just Surah, the first 2 or 3 verses of Surah Fatiha in the beginning, right in the beginning, when they are at the age of 3 or 4. Yeah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم and it goes back again بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم after some time it depends on your child he will just subconsciously please do remember this word what subconsciously say بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين they memorized it subconsciously this is how you do the حفظ with your children up to the age of seven around after the age of seven you can develop okay the حفظ mechanism and you can ask some of the teachers they can help you By the way, after the age of 10, the process becomes more difficult because now your child has more desires to spend time playing, watching games, social media, etc. So catch your children, my dear brothers and sisters, at way before the age of 10. To help them to memorize the Quran.
Sheikh, one of the sisters is saying, sorry, let me just find the question. That her 10-year-old son, he's memorized Juz Amma, and basically now he's finding it difficult to continue after Juz Amma.
Yeah.
So she's thinking, should she stop for a while and just.
No.
Else like translate the Quran
Yeah,
do
yeah, yeah.
translation and let him do it later in his life.
Nope. Okay. The general ruling, of course, there are exceptions with these things in Tarbiyah, there are always exceptions, but the general ruling is even if he continues to memorize even one verse every day or every 2 or 3 days. Yeah? Let him do that. Okay?
In other words, keep the muscle of memorization
Exactly.
active.
Keep the muscles of the mind. Keep the tongue. Keep the mind aware of the Quran. Yeah? The minute you leave it, the minute it will become very difficult for them to come back to it. Yeah? Let alone they will lose confidence yeah they might develop kind of this they distance themselves from the Quran so no the general ruling
So
is
the sister
no
is asking, what if, like, you know, you can really see that you are continuing one verse. So in other words, you've reduced the amount of memorization, but you're finding that you're having to force this child now.
See, sisters, this is the issue. Because you did not start with them when they were young, and you started at the wrong age, which is 10, yeah, you face these difficulties. This is the problem. Like, you know, we say to sisters, you neglect your daughter in terms of hijab, and then when she reaches the age of 13, 14, yeah, or puberty, you ask her to wear hijab. By that time, she got used to a different chemical or a different system. Her chemistry is not used to this. Yeah, so be
Sheikh,
careful of that.
one of the things that can help, isn't it, is to have a class. Because, Sheikh, sometimes I feel like in the West especially, we are expecting our children to do things that is against the, you know, obviously what majority people are doing. So in that sense, we need more of a jama'ah. You know, we need
Excellent.
something to keep the motivation.
Yeah, excellent. I was going to come to that point actually, Sister Fatima. Excellent. Which is now what happened happened that, okay, you, whatever you neglected, you the child, etc. Sister, try to find, yeah, a good club for him, yeah, a good group for him, some friends that he enjoys being with, yeah, who are doing the hifz, okay, and that might motivate him, okay. Try to find a way to motivate him, even if sometimes you need to be firm with him that, okay, you can't do this unless you do your hifz. Yeah. And you have half an hour to do your hifz, and after that you can do whatever you want to do. Something like this, yeah, with bit of discipline. You need to find what works for your child. But I agree, it will be a challenge. It will not be an easy job.
Yeah, but I don't want the sister to get discouraged, you know. Sister, mashallah, even if you started a bit later than, you know, maybe is the ideal, the
Yeah.
fact that you're still, you know, your son has memorized Juzamma, that's a
Oh
beautiful.
yeah, that is if he memorized Amma, that is a great achievement.
Yeah.
But that's why just
Has
continue.
the ability. It means he has the ability. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. So and he got used to it. Okay. He's not like the one who doesn't know Juzo Amma. So now continue with him, even if it is what? Even if it is just one verse every 2 days or so. Yeah.
And Sheikh, you know, with the Arabic language, now one of the things that I'm actually advocating is, Sheikh, that you know, when children are young, it's the best time to learn languages. And even in the West or everywhere in the world, you know, we learn French or we learn German, we learn an extra language because people know that your brain will never learn a language like in your childhood, you know. So I'm actually one of the things I'm encouraging parents to do, and especially because now, you know, that the world is smaller, you know, in some ways.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ability to communicate and have Arabic teachers and, you know, in, even online, right? Is to bring children up with Arabic as a language. Inshallah, could you please give us your thoughts on that?
Yeah. See. Okay. I was one time I was speaking about this. I said to the brothers, okay, see, until now. I said, until now, you can mix between ha and ha. Yeah. And they said, well, to be honest with you, even some brothers who learned Arabic when they were senior,
Of
and
course,
they said, yeah, they said, yeah, okay. I said, but if you teach your children from a very young age, especially the Quran, their ability to distinguish between both is high, is very high, is higher than you. In fact, you might find the children when they speak, subhanAllah, Arabic, they don't speak with it's, they don't speak the accent. You feel that, oh, subhanAllah, they are like Arabs. Have
Arabs.
you been in Egypt? No. Have you been in Syria? No. Inshallah, Syria will open and then inshallah will send our children. Okay, they have good madrasas there. Have you been to Arab country? No. Yeah. So what? It is the Quran. And my own observation, although it is not scientific, those who are Huffaz and they come to the UK, their ability to learn English with a proper accent is higher.
Can you say that again, Sheikh?
Those Huffaz who come to the UK, for example, you know, some Huffaz, they come to the UK to lead Salah, yeah, from Egypt or from some other countries. And if they stay in Egypt, their ability, sorry, if they stay in the UK, their ability to learn English, yes, and to fix some of the, maybe some of the, what is it, sounds like P and B, etc., yeah, is higher than others. Yeah, because the Quran, subhanAllah, develops the linguistic ability in our minds. Yeah.
So I think, this one of the visions I'm trying to encourage people with, if you could just give us your final thoughts, Sheikh, is, this new generation of, regardless of what profession they go into, a generation that know the Quran, know the Arabic language as well. I'm trying to make everyone
Yes,
aim
yes.
high, aspire, if
Yeah,
possible,
yeah,
inshallah.
yeah.
Because then I believe that they will have a deeper ability to ponder,
Yes,
to ponder, to analyze.
exactly. As you said, wallahi, one time I was in, actually, I'm going to the same masjid tomorrow. This masjid, I spoke about the importance of Arabic language. And I said to them that, look, if you know Arabic language, any dua that I can say to you, you will pick it up easily. So, for example, the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever says, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, 100 times every day, Allah Jalla wa Ala will give him 5 things. Yes, among them that no one will be better than him in the akhirah. So, one brother came to me, young brother, okay, in his maybe late 30s. And he said to me, what was the dua that you mentioned? I said, which dua? He said, the dua you said 5 things. I said, that was adhkar, la ilaha illallah, the simple one. He said, I know the first part, which is la ilaha illallah, but I don't know the rest of it. I said, brother, this is kalimatul tawheed. He said, and then he asked me to record it for him because he doesn't know it. Brothers and sisters, wallahi, if you don't learn Quran, which will open the doors of Arabic language for you, you are depriving yourself from a lot of khair, a lot of khair. And subhanallah, learning Quran and will and through it, through the Quran, learning Arabic language, subhanallah, opens the doors of all types of goodness. As I said, irrespective of your profession. And in fact, one of the barriers, subhanAllah, one of the barriers between people and the deen in general is language. Because when people find that this is an alien language, they automatically feel that this is an alien culture, this is an alien paradigm. But when they know the language, you see yourself, okay? If you go to a country and you know Arabic language, you feel attached to them. If you go to a country, when you go to Turkey and people are talking in Turkish, you don't feel that much closer to them. So the language actually is the main means of communication and bringing people together. And similarly, this the Quran is one of the main doors of Arabic language, and it will open your heart, your mind to communicate with the Arab world, which is the Muslim world.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. Thank you so much for your time and for all your advice. I think you've motivated us all to memorize Quran as well, more than maybe even our children. You've really motivated us.
See, this is what I said. Don't use this as an
Excuse.
excuse that, oh, I want my children to teach Quran and then to learn Quran, and then you forgot yourself.
But then again, Sheikh, sometimes when our children have done the hifz, like my sons have done their hifz, now they can help me, I have a teacher in the house who can I can revise with. So
And yet sometimes you feel embarrassed that, oh, I am their parent and I'm the one who encouraged them and I'm not a hafiz. Oh no, I should be a hafiz.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. Thank you so
Jazakallah khair.
much. And inshallah, with that, we will end our session. I'm sure you really benefit from that, brothers and sisters. Let me know what you
Jazakallah.
thought about it. And inshallah, with that, we will
Barakallah
bid
fiik.
farewell. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum.
الله سيدنا السلام عليكم